This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Got to say hello to our friends in Richmond on AM 910, FM 105.1. Checking us out for the next 3 hours. If you have been with us on the flagship, 106.7 all over D.C. and the DMV for the last hour. Thanks for making the show part of your day. We've got big one planned for you, including Logan Paulson going to join us from out in Ashburn any minute. He's at practice and some things ran long, so we'll catch up with him in just a bit. And Billy Umbody's going to stop by at 5, who covers SMU. If you haven't heard this story, it's crazy. They put together a collective. They've got enough money that they're going to be offering basically, it sounds like every football player, and I believe every men's basketball player, $36,000 a year as a salary to come to their school to play sports. So we'll talk to them about how that's going to work and if this is groundbreaking enough that maybe other schools are going to follow suit and try to do what they're doing. Danny is at the beach, but he is back this week. Danny, so far, highlight of your beach trip. What do you got?
Easiest thing for me is just the very calm routine of getting a bike ride in the morning, going to my favorite coffee shop, Duck Cottage Coffee, grabbing whether it's a cold brew, whether it's some of their house coffee, cottage blend, enjoying it, and then getting my toes in the sand, reading my book. I've got through two books here over the course of my week plus.
What'd you read?
I read from a listener of ours, Mark Polymeropoulos, former CIA. Long decorated career. He wrote a book called Clarity in Crisis that I just finished this morning. And I also, this is something that you recommended me, GP, the second in Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series called The Great Hunt, obviously about Randall Thor and his awakening as the Dragon Reborn, something that you suggested that I read. I was reluctant, but you recommended it so highly. I said, I've got to pick it up. Well over 600 pages of high fantasy. I thought it was splendid. Good recommendation by you.
Yeah, I'm glad that you read that because it just was a life changer for me. The first time I read it, I said, this is so good, I got to read it a second time. And then the second time I read it, it was even better. So you should read
it a second time. You pick up so much. You're like, you didn't even realize what Moraine, the Aes Sedai, was actually doing in terms of manipulating the chessboard. Just absolutely brilliant stuff in combating the Dark One. Just really, really inside of things.
That's the part that really stunned me the most.
Yeah, totally.
Wanted to real quick get your thoughts. Had you heard yet, do you know about the change they made to hail to the Redskins now, hail to the Commanders? They obviously, we talked a lot about the possible names, leaders on a mission or fight for our Commanders, and they went with
fighting
for
the
our Commanders.
Yeah. Sure.
Which was not my vote, but they went with that one. I didn't get to vote. Everyone got to vote, right? It wasn't up to me. It wasn't up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
mm-hmm.
they went with. But then they slowed the song down a bunch, too. Have you heard this?
So I don't know if that was just an alt version they were trying out. I've seen a lot of different videos. So somebody shot a video, and I forget who it was. Apologies. Trying to give credit here. But pregame, they did the normal tempo one. Then there was one kind of like sad one. Then there was one that was in tune to the national anthem. Or something like I don't know what's going on here. I need to get the straight shoot from you, my friend. What's going on with the song right now, this minute? Where are we?
Well, I am the wrong person to ask because I have no idea. I will tell you that right now.
Okay.
Number one, I'll apologize for, I guess, in advance, but I just care a little bit less about all the song stuff, as you know, than everyone else. Like you care a lot less about the uniform stuff than I do or other
right.
people do.
Mm-hmm.
I care a lot less about the song thing. In general. So if I am your beat reporter on this, I am failing you. But I will tell you that having been in the stadium after the first touchdown, I and a lot of other people were kind of waiting to see what it sounded like, and then it didn't play that we could hear. And that was the whole plan, remember, was after the first touchdown, they were going to play it and unveil it or whatever. After their second touchdown, which was, I think, the Sam Howell plunge, the one-yard touchdown run, whatever that was, It did play, and it was loud, and people could sing along, and they did a sing-along on the scoreboard with all the lyrics. But it was, while the same song, super slowed down is what I would say. And I was talking to the guys around me in the press box, and what we came up with was they probably just wanted to change it up a tad, right? So that it's not the exact same. Like, you can't just play Hail to the Redskins and sing Hail to the Commanders. And maybe the way to change it up was just kind of, it's like giving any song to someone and saying, hey, let's put a wrinkle or two
on it. Put your own spin on it, yeah.
And I think they slowed it down, and they did a couple of other things with it where there's like one part where you can hear it kind of feels more like big bandy, almost like, you know, one of these like,
jazz.
Yeah, one of those things. Where they kind of add in some extra instruments. But yeah, do we have that audio from our guy Tailgate Ted? So this isn't perfect because it's from the crowd, but I think it's worth playing because this is what people were hearing that were sitting in seats in the stands on Saturday. And this is Tailgate Ted that posted this. And while there's some other noise and some things going on, you will absolutely hear the song. So check this out. Almost identical to the old one, but I would say, I don't have a better way to describe this because I'm not a music person. I would say the BPMs are turned down a little bit, right? Like, there are fewer beats per minute in this one than the previous one. Thoughts?
What are we doing? That's all I could think of. I don't get it. What am I missing? I don't understand who that's for now. Right? Like, we changed the lyrics.
The longtime Redskin fan who's there in Commander's gear, of whom there were several thousand people. I saw them, a lot of them. By the way, I was impressed and surprised by how many people were wearing Commander's gear already. Yeah. I know that they probably hit up the team store, some of them, before the game or whatever. But the amount of new Block W hats and T-shirts and, like, Terry McLaurin Commander's jerseys that I saw, it was way more than I anticipated. And there might be something to be said for a preseason game is your most diehard, dominant, you know, portion of your fan base. Those are the people that'll be at every game, tailgating, all that. I get that. But there was way more legit Commanders apparel than I assumed that there would be.
I think that's good. And I'm glad for them. And that's a feather in the cap of Jason Wright and company. But I go back to the song thing. We've already changed it enough. We changed Sons of Washington for no reason. And that was like no one voted on that. Right, we voted on Leaders on a Mission versus a thing that doesn't make any sense where it's asking me to get in a fight on behalf of the Commanders, which I still have no interest in. We didn't get to vote on the second one, though, and that's fine. You snuck that in. We're keeping the same tune. It is the same tune, but now the tempo's slowed down. I if we're going to make that many changes, we need a new song or no song. But I it's so baffling to me. I don't know if this is just an experimental version where they're just playing around with stuff. I'd like for someone to tell me what's going on. I also just can't get what they're thinking.
The Sons of Washington versus All of Washington line at the end that was also changed. Mm-hmm. So when they announced the song and they kind of posted it with words, it said Sons of Washington again. And we're like, oh, they went back to the old format. You know, they heard people complaining about changing All of Washington. You thought maybe, no, it was supposed to just be inclusive and not say Sons, even though it's the football team you're talking about. And, you know, that has been traditionally, you know, the males or whatever. So the Sons of Washington was kind of what they meant. And all the players had been men previously. So that was the idea of that. But, okay, they're going to go to All of Washington. So then they posted in the Sons of Washington. It's like, oh, they went back. But when they scored the touchdown and they put the words up on the board, it was back to All of Washington. So we saw both versions also on Saturday. So that I don't really know exactly what they're going with. Darius has more audio here. He thinks this might play a little better sound-wise of the marching band performing the new version of the song. So let's listen. down at this point. Thank you. This is how I feel about the jerseys, too, and I want to get into my takeaways from the jerseys. I said that I didn't want to change the colors. I wanted it to be burgundy and gold. Stick with the jerseys, you know, whatever. If they're going to put a fresh coat of paint on it, modernize them. Well, then they changed the numbers. They changed the colors and the look of the numbers and a bunch of things about the jerseys. And afterwards, this isn't, you know, not me blaming them, but my opinion changed. I decided, you know what, if we're actually tweaking all this stuff, then we should have just changed the colors. I was wrong. I said keep the colors. Now I think we should change the colors. Because you changed the actual color
because they changed them
burgundy to red anyway, and we're pretending like they're the same. And so I feel the same way about the song. We're keeping the song. We're just changing the words. But not really. You are, maybe they'd say modernizing. I would say adjusting. So just do your own thing. Like there's, you don't have to keep appealing to these people that are already upset and angry anyway. Just build a new fan base with young people and a new song. I don't know. That's why.
Well, you know the dumb expression. And by the way, I just philosophically hate this expression because why else would you have cake? But they want their cake to and to eat it too. Why else would you have cake? I paid for the cake. Please let me eat the cake. Leave me alone with my cake. Maybe I'll get it on my face and wipe it off with a wet napkin. But anyway, that's what that feels like to me. Is you're talking about all this engagement and all these fancy consultant words to show that you're a fancy consultant. It's all very slick and your rebranding is ahead of schedule. By the way, what on earth does that mean? Your rebrand is ahead of schedule. You changed the name and Craig Melvin went, ha ha, that's the rebrand. It's over. Roll out whatever you want with your Rapify and your things that, you know, where cars are throwing t-shirts and there's a cannon or something like that. I don't know what all this means. It's just consultant speak. But if you're trying to appeal to your hardcore fans that have been with you through 20-some years, 30-some years of hot garbage on fire and lies and double talk and lowered expectations and failure to even meet those low bar of expectations, stop tweaking things. If it's just to wipe them clean because you don't like them for some reason and you want new things, then do new things. They're doing neither. They have the old thing, and then they tweak it a lot. They tell you they're tweaking one thing, but then there's more tweaks. We have to keep the burgundy and gold. We heard you. We're going to keep it. We're going to change it slightly. Why? Why did you have to change it slightly? The burgundy and gold was the thing that you promised everyone that you would keep, but you changed the color, didn't you? We caught you changing the color. Everybody sees that the color's slightly different. We're going to keep the fight song. We want to keep the tradition alive. We're going to make sure that it's still the same thing so you guys know what to sing to. And then they changed it, and then they changed a little bit more, and now the tempo's different, and now there's like some jazz band feel to it, and some lady's singing a lot slower. I just don't know what they're going for. I don't understand it. It's either got to be one or the other, and they're doing neither, and that's what's so frustrating.
Well, they're doing both, actually, honestly, which becomes neither in a way. Like, you should either
right. I take the negative view of it. You're right. To me, they're trying to do both, and instead, they're doing neither.
Exactly.
They're pleasing nobody.
One of you have to pick a base that you are appealing to. Either take good care of the old Redskin fan who's angry and try to win them over as best as possible, which, for the record, I think is the wrong decision and a fleeting opportunity. Because those people have already made up their minds as it is. So just move on. But they're trying their best to appeal to those people. But then you have this other collection of people that are either going to be new because it's a new thing that are in on the Commanders. Now, you could have grown the base by just having the best uniforms and the best look and the best logo and the best mascot and all these things. And gone in a completely different direction and tried to just start anew. And they didn't do that either. But they know that they have to appeal in some way to that group. So they're altering everything just slightly. And I think because you're straddling the middle, you're really not winning over either of the two groups.
Right.
I tend to agree with that.
That's
I will
the nicer
say this
way to
about
put it.
The jersey,
yeah.
Though. So I tweeted this out before the game. I hated the white jerseys. Hated them when we saw them. And in fact, if you go back to that first couple of days after, I think Ryan was in on them. And me, you, and Darius all didn't like the white jerseys. And I will say that having now seen them in person at the stadium, and the first time I saw Carson Wentz on camera pregame down on the field, I thought the white jerseys looked way better than I expected. Now, my in-game analysis from the press box was, it is almost impossible to read the numbers even from where I was sitting, which is just barely above the first section, right? So, like, basically the second level, maybe like club level-ish. I found the numbers really, really hard to read. They're kind of that mesh. There's like little holes in them, if you know what I'm saying.
I do, yeah.
And so I just thought in general, I was like, is that 83 or 85 or 82 or is that 67? Like, you can't really tell. The numbers aren't huge. They're not solid. So I thought that was somewhat problematic. And a lot of people complained that there were black stripes on them, which I don't hate, but they wish they were gold stripes, like on the stitching, so to speak, on the shoulder. And again, if you're sticking with burgundy and gold, yes, that makes more sense. Maybe that would look better. Because like there's this thing floating around, I'm sure you've seen online, where someone put those jerseys with the helmets of the Falcons and the Cardinals, and the jersey worked with either team. Which is how you know that the colors are off.
Right.
Still having seen them now, I will go to my grave thinking that's not the same burgundy. It's not the same as their burgundy jersey or the old burgundy. All three of those are a little bit different. But it's more of like a Falcons, Cardinals-y, reddish-type color. Having said that, though, Danny, I like them a lot more in-game, on a person, than on that mannequin in some of the media pictures that were sent around. I'm telling you, I think if people go out to the stadium, they look better in person. But I understand people have some gripes with them.
Yeah, so, I mean, the uniform itself, in terms of grading it, I think uniforms are fine. I think that one was fine, and that's all that. My issue is with this is the same. It isn't. It's not. I want that. I need someone to stand up with their hand raised and say, okay, we tweaked it. Okay? Okay, we did. We're guilty. We tweaked it.
And they keep saying, no, it's
changed
the same.
This. Right. Yeah. Stop telling me it's the same. It's not raining on my hand. I know exactly what it is. You're lying for some reason. I don't understand the upside. I don't understand the point of it, because they said we're going to keep the burgundy and gold. That was a hardcore thing. For the first thing Jason was telling everybody.
Show.
Yes, he was like, we heard from everybody. You could change a lot of things, but please don't change that. And we heard you. I guess you didn't hear loud enough. I guess you didn't hear hard enough. That wasn't the same. That is a different white jersey. My favorite thing in the world. That's not true. I have other things that I like a little bit better. One of my favorite things on earth when it came to my Washington Redskins was when they wore white at home and looked awesome. I remember that. There was no reason to mess with that. There was no reason to change it. I got that we had to change the name. Here we are. That's where we are. No problem. I can deal with it. Whatever. You changed this uniform thing when you're changing everything else just to say that you did it, just to justify your hours that you put in. You know, you had all these marketing meetings and all these probably fancy PowerPoints and binders and slides and decks and different things that everyone had to view. It's infuriating to me. That's all. That's the part that I care about, is it isn't the same. I'll get used to it. I'm watching the game every Sunday. That's not going to change. But damn it, you changed it and you didn't have to. You took away every single morsel from people that grew up and loved this thing. That's blood boiling to me.
I loved the helmets and I did like the jerseys, but they are different. And I just need someone to acknowledge that at some point.
I care so much about that part.
Let's go to Danny, who's in Rockville. Danny, you're on G&D. What's up, buddy?
Danny. Hi, guys. How are you? It was nice seeing you the other Friday, Grant. I was at the stadium on Saturday, and I saw a whole lot of things. Like, they moved the where they do the pre- and post-game show, they moved it down to the Legends end of the stadium. And, I wish the colors would be a little bit more like the helmet.
The helmet is a different color
jersey
than the jersey, yeah. Because the helmet is burgundy. Thanks for the call, buddy, and it was good seeing you Friday as well. The helmet's burgundy, and the jersey's not, even though they say that it is. That's why they're a different color.
Mm-hmm.
The helmet is very clearly matte burgundy. And I think the helmet is bangarang. Like, that's my favorite part of the whole look. Jeff Lusby, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Good.
Good, man.
Just the whole Washer organization, they keep trying to put lipstick on a pig. They don't get it right. You can't make anything pretty that's already ugly. Between the uniforms and all the blunders they've made since becoming the Commanders.
I mean, I guess you got to keep trying, right? You got to keep chopping wood while you can and hope a tree falls down. Kevin's in Centerville on Grant and Danny. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Good, man.
The first version definitely sounded like this to me. It sounded like a burlesque show. Like, you know, like those jazzy, like, like a strip club type of, like, thing. And I don't think that's something you want your organization to be putting out there when you've got so many documented things that are going on regarding sexual harassment with your women. So maybe less, more up-tempo, less down-tempo, less burlesque. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. I don't think it's fair necessarily. I see your point. I agree with you that it sounded burlesque. I don't think that's fair to criticize them and make the link with the sexual harassment stuff in the past. It's fair to criticize him for that harassment, but not the burlesque part of it. But the point still stands. There's no reason to change the instrumental. You concocted
Danny,
these lyrics that make no sense to fit in there.
They think that it has to be somewhat different. Because they think they need to say, look, we changed the song. That's the calibration here that they made that I think is so flawed.
Yeah, I think it's completely flawed.
You and I agree, but are you in agreement with me that this is why? That they feel like they have to tweak this stuff because it's a new thing now. It's our first ever year as the Commanders. It's our inaugural game. Everything's got to be just a little bit different. Now,
totally.
My point is, then get rid of it and just do your own thing. They don't want to do that. They want to continue to benefit from the old thing because that's all they got, while tweaking it a little bit to say that they did.
Yeah, I mean, this is D.C. This is the home of consultants. This is the biggest consultant town on this planet. And everybody that's had a job for more than 5 minutes has seen what consultants do. They got to bill their hours. They got to justify their existence. So everything has to be tweaked somewhat. Even if a system works perfectly, even if something makes people happy, you've got to demonstrate that your billable hours were worthwhile. And that's what this is to me. You had something that made people happy, and you're trying to tweak it just enough to justify, you know, all the effort and work that you guys put in rendering these different things and doing mock-ups and focus groups and this, that, and the other thing, when in reality, the people that you're trying to serve notice it and don't like it. It's not better. You know what I mean? Like, I get that you had to change Redskins to Commanders. Very reasonable to me. Whether you wanted that or not, that ship has sailed. It happened. The extra stuff, I just don't know who they're trying to appeal to. And to me, it appeals to no one. The hardcore fans that were with you don't like it. The newer people that you're trying to win over don't think much of you at all, as it is. It's just hard for me to understand what they're thinking.
Logan Paulson was on the broadcast. Let's actually talk some ball with him, X's and O's, with one of the sharpest Commanders analysts that there is, next on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
At 4 o'clock, our Beltway Blitz, and at 4:25, before we get into a Sam Howell conversation, you'll hear my interview with Chris Paul. You'll remember, Danny, Chris Paul, the rookie offensive lineman they drafted in the late rounds. We had him on. He was a blast to talk to
after
the draft. He made his preseason debut. In fact, he played 3 quarters of football. Got a lot of run this past weekend, and it was cool to catch up with him in the locker room right after the game. So make sure you're tuned in about an hour from right now if you want to hear from the rookie offensive lineman. 5:25 today, we're going to talk running backs. You'll hear my conversation with Jarrett Patterson from the locker room after the preseason game that saw him average 5 yards per carry. Another productive game for him, but they are loaded in the backfield. We talked about Gibson versus Robinson, McKissick, who had a 15-yard catch and run with a nice spin move to pick up a first down. He's outstanding. But I thought Jonathan Williams was awesome when he got an opportunity at the end of last year. Patterson actually started, ran 12 times, did really well for himself, had 4 catches and 2 touchdowns, I think it was, in their final game of the year last year. So they got a lot of guys that are NFL-caliber running backs in that running back room.
Certainly do. Go with the hot hand. It's to me, how the running back room should be built. I mean, you know, if you've got a star, if you got someone that breaks out and is great, by all means, do that. But to me, that's how I would handle my running back room. I'd find 5 or 6 guys that are between 5'8 and 5'11, right around 200 pounds, who can catch the football and, you know, are quick, make people miss, and just ride the hot hand. It's fantasy owners would hate me, but it's how I'd build the room. So I like the depth there.
Speaking of fantasy owners, let's take a spin around the NFL right now, Danny, on G&D, because We have a weekend's worth of preseason games to take a peek at, see who performed well and who didn't. First thing I want to mention is that the Ravens have won 21 straight preseason games. And I talked about this last week. You were out on Friday after they had played their that first preseason game. I think it was on Thursday. But this is an amazing accomplishment. It speaks to depth. It speaks to organizational philosophy and kind of the preparation they put in the summer. I know it's kind of wacky to say that who cares about a preseason winning streak. I don't know when the line of demarcation is, but when you've won 21 in a row, when every single one of these games is basically just a toss-up because nobody knows what's going to happen in the preseason, something is going on, and it's pretty cool to see. I also think that their backup quarterback, that Tyler Huntley, is excellent. 16 of 18 for 109 yards and a touchdown. We saw him play last season, and I thought he was actually exceptional. I think he can play in this league. Like, if I was a team needing a quarterback, I might consider calling them about Huntley.
I would knock on the door, certainly. I mean, I saw him play against the Rams in a game that Baltimore was winning when they were injury depleted at the end of their season, and Rams ended up coming back and winning that game. But, you know, he was under assault, under pressure a ton, but made a couple plays here and there. He is certainly impressive. But in terms of the that winning streak, it's an organizational philosophy thing that I think is important to sort of highlight here for a second, GP. Their view of it, and again, I don't necessarily that I would feel this way, but good for them for doing it. They think if you put the uniform on, then it matters. And they're going to treat it a little bit more seriously than everybody else. And that's fine. Everybody's got to make their team as good as you could possibly make it. And every coach is making that decision in terms of where versus, you know, how much you're going to hit and how much you're going to condition and how much you're going to run down players, et cetera. And they've, to their credit, have been really successful doing it their way. And they kind of don't care what the external voices say. They got a philosophy and they've kind of stuck to it. It really is a weird and odd record, but it's certainly impressive nonetheless.
Falcons-Lions played a game in Detroit where Desmond Ridder got a lot of run. So Marcus Mariota came in, 2 for 2, 36 yards. That was kind of the end of the road. And then it was the Desmond Ridder show. He was 10 for 22 passing, so there's a lot that you missed there, clearly.
Yep.
But he went for over 100 yards, 10 per completion. And he had 2 touchdowns without a pick. He also had a 20-yard run and ran for 60 yards in the game. I think if you're the Falcons, you got to feel pretty good about his first action. Drake London also survived a scare. He had a 24-yard reception. They drafted him in the top 10, hurt his knee and left the game. Sounds like he's going to miss practice this week, but should return soon thereafter. I don't think there's much concern about him missing the opener at this point.
Yeah, hopefully he's okay. Exciting young player. But to Ridder, listen, if Atlanta was going to compete for something this year, then okay, go with the veteran and see what you got. But the instant Desmond Ridder is ready to me, you know, that he's not going to embarrass himself or get him or other guys injured, I'd roll with him because he's far more exciting than kind of that, you know, what they're going with in terms of Marcus Mariota. And the jury's kind of in. The book is written on Mariota, but I think Ridder's got something. He's got there's some upside. The athleticism was pretty impressive there if the passing numbers weren't.
Browns played the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Deshaun Watson was 1 for 5 for 7 yards, including a couple of really errant passes, one where he missed a wide open wide receiver, 15 yards or so downfield. To the credit of the fans in Jacksonville, they were completely engaged, and they took the opportunity to boo him and chant vulgar, terrible things at him. They were the first fan base to get their crack at this, and there was only a few thousand people in the stands. So imagine what it's going to be like if he plays in games on the road this year. I was just surprised that he played. I mean, I don't know what the NFL's doing. They are going to rule on this suspension, but they didn't do it before he made his preseason debut. I think if this was a home game, maybe they would have, because he would have got cheered and he would have been the belle of the ball and it would have been a bad look for them. Because he was playing on the road, though, he got booed and terrible things were said about him, and maybe it strengthens their case as they talk to him and the Browns and they say, listen, we can't have this traveling road show everywhere he goes this year. But one completion for 7 yards for him, he looked like a guy that didn't play last year. He looked really rusty.
Yeah, from Cleveland's perspective, I get why they trotted him out there, right? Even as you're waiting, he hasn't taken snaps in forever, so he needed those reps as ASAP. And to your point about the league, I think it's a smart one. I kind of, again, I've been amazed how long they've taken on this, just in every direction, right? Just last year, just sort of letting it twist in the wind, and then, you know, all the way up until this season, that you've had months and months and months to kind of get this going in one direction or another. I know that they didn't want to rush and be hasty because that was a mistake they made in multiple cases before, but this is still dragging out here. It seems like almost year number 3 for this. Quick other note for me that was exciting, Travis Etienne, the numbers aren't special. 9 carries, 23 yards, 1 catch for 10. So 10 touches, 33 total yards. But a guy that was their first-round pick last year in Jacksonville, hopefully being able to be healthy this year, a potential exciting young weapon on that offense.
You said One Direction at some point in there. Are you a Niall Horan or a Harry Styles?
Harry Styles.
Guy?
I'm a Harry Styles guy. Yeah. Doesn't he act now? Isn't
he
that
does.
A thing?
He's an actor.
Yeah.
I'm a Niles
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Is it Niles
none of
Paul?
Them have any. I don't know.
Niles
they have
Horan.
No body fat among them. Not 1% body fat among all those guys. I don't know how they're so skinny. Food is delicious.
I'm a Niall Horan? Niles Horan.
Niles Crane.
Darius, what do you got? Help me out here. You've seen this guy perform live.
It's Niall. How do you know I saw him live?
Because he was here and you were on the promotion staff.
I was.
Yeah.
It was actually a silly performance.
But you bought,
I'm
you
sure
bought
it
tickets.
Was silly.
It was very silly. Actually.
I bet it was silly. But what I was going to say was I'm a Niles Paul guy because I met him when he was here. He was like wandering around aimlessly near the green room, and he was like wondering, is he a British accent, or am I making that up?
No, you're right.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey, man, who are you? He's like, I'm Niles Paul. I'm like, oh, I covered you when you were playing for Shanahan as a tight end converted to wide receiver.
I'm a former tight end, but you know, I had one catch against Dallas in that Thanksgiving Day game for a touchdown, didn't I?
I played at Nebraska. It's very, very fun for me to play football. Anyway,
good on teams as well.
I'll take him over Harry Styles. Jets. Eagles. This game was played in Philly. Big story was the injury to Zach Wilson. It looked bad. Non-contact. Yeah. He kind of pulled the old Chris Berman, whoop, make you miss, open field, a little shiftiness, planning on that right knee. Same right knee where I think he tore, messed up the PCL last year with a strain. And it sounds like it's just a bone bruise, which is pretty stunning. Still no timeline. They're going to wait for his procedure to happen, which I think might be going down today or tomorrow, where he's getting an extra look. But there's a chance he could play in the opener if they misses a couple weeks, based on what we thought after the injury. And everyone was basically doing the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, torn ACL reporting. And luckily that was not the case, because that would have been just devastating for them to lose their sophomore quarterback for the year.
Yeah, hopefully he is okay, and hopefully they do their due diligence and make sure he's got his feet legs underneath him for a team that I'm not sure how good they're going to be. Other side of the football, GP, Jalen Hurts was really impressive in this. I know it's preseason, but this is a nice little prove-it year for him. He was 6-for-6, 80 yards and a tutty. Certainly looked apart throwing the football. I think Philadelphia is poised to make a nice little jump forward here this year. I know I'm not alone in thinking that. I think a lot of folks are kind of predicted that they win this division that doesn't have repeat winners since Philadelphia did it in the early 2000s. But a nice first step, certainly, for Hurts and company.
Yeah, I didn't see much of their game. I saw a couple highlights. But I know this. If you're 6-for-6, that could be screens, that could be whatever. When the ball doesn't touch the ground, you get into the end zone and your night's done before you break a sweat. That's a hell of a performance. You know what I mean?
It's not bad.
I don't care if that's schemed up or if you're throwing the ball on a dime 52 yards downfield. It doesn't really matter. It's ultimate efficiency. And you're right. Jalen Hurts, big time check mark, 1-for-1. This is a huge campaign ahead for him. You can't say the same about Jordan Love in that Packers 49ers game. He threw 3 picks, 13 of 24 for a 176 with 2 scores and 3 interceptions. I'm sorry. 3 picks. I know it's the preseason. He is at a point now where, thank goodness, that Aaron Rodgers is still there. I mean, remember, we were talking about a year ago, maybe he could take over as their starter. And they can't even get him through a preseason game without mistakes. On the other side, the story I thought was Trey Lance. 4-of-5, 92 yards and a touchdown. He looked pretty good. I saw his best throw of the game was a dime down the sideline, downfield like 30 or so yards in the air. He also showed some athleticism on a 7-yard run. You know he's got that club in the bag. I don't know what Trey Lance is, but I've been making the case now for the last few weeks. If he is good at all, like if he's just average, they should make the playoffs because they made the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game with Jimmy G being middle-of-the-pack starting quarterback. So if Trey Lance doesn't stink, I think this is a double-digit win team and a playoff team.
And if he's good, look out. I mean,
right.
Who knows where that's going to be. I think his ceiling is still really, really high. I mean, to me, think about the contrast, though. Usually we're seeing guys, hey, let's not show anything. We're going to check it down. They're dropping back and slinging it, dude. I mean, he's going down the football field. You mentioned that one long throw that he had there. But, you know, it was basically let's show off the arm strength a few times and then, you know, go sit down. But he was really impressive. And this is a huge year for obviously for him, but kind of for the 49ers, because you've had a guy that's, as you said, as pedestrian as they come, but you've won with him when he's been available. It's tough to move on from somebody like that for a guy that they traded the farm to move up and get who has very little NFL experience.
We can get into another batch of games later because I still want to discuss, among other things, Kenny Pickett looking clinical in his first opportunity with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it is the preseason, and all of this that we're talking about should be taken as a grain of salt, but it is our first chance to take a peek at how some of these guys are looking on the field with the lights on for these games. G&D on the Fan, it is time for our double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And at 4 o'clock, your Beltway Blitz, the teams you care the most about, including the Commanders and the Nationals, right here on the Fan. Danny is at the beach with me, back in the saddle via the magical powers of radio. I'm in our Half Street studios, four blocks from Nats Park, where C.J. Abrams will make his debut today. If you missed our breakdown of preseason game one or our conversations on Commanders camp so far today, they were brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We'll get back into the Commanders here in a bit, including in our Beltway Blitz. And at 425, you're going to hear from Chris Paul, who head coach Ron Rivera just gave love to. Talking with the media after going back and watching the film, he said that the rookie lineman was very stout in his preseason debut. He played basically three quarters. So we will talk to Chris Paul on this show coming up at about 4:25. Make sure you are listening. Let's get to our double play, though. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Double play presented by GovSmart, intelligent IT solutions for government. Visit GovSmart.com. Danny, you're on vacation, which is a double play haven, so I'm going to get out of the way for you here.
Indeed, sir. Thank you. The beach is perfect. It's amazing. I spend 51 weeks a year, give or take, thinking about going to the beach. And then when I'm here, I'm thinking about ways to make it so that I never have to leave. I love it so much. The adversity you encounter at the beach is very different than real adversity in real life, whether it's commuting or danger or kind of anything else. So this is all relative and mild. These are minor inconveniences. There's been a rise in something I don't quite understand, and that's the fishing people. I respect fishing. I enjoy a good time fishing. Go out on a lake. It's serenity. It's good male bonding.
Guy, when's the last time you went fishing on a lake?
It's been, I went in Nashville last year. So before then, it had been a while since I'd had kids. But, you know, it's not something I do all the time, but I do it sometimes. Very rarely. But I get it. It's fine. It's fun. What I don't understand are the beach fishing people that walk up right next to where, like, kids are playing in the surf, right next to where people are hanging out and minding their business, and they've got hooks and they've got bloody fish guts on their lines, and they're just casting away in the water. My brother-in-law had a line caught around his ankle, and he tripped and fell a couple days ago. Thank goodness there wasn't any hook in it, but they don't care. And this is my general thing with people that just do stuff and just assume that everyone's fine with it, whether it's letting dogs poop in yards or whether it's smokers just, you know, huffing and puffing right in your face. And they just can't imagine people aren't okay with it. I just don't understand this phenomenon. It's growing, and it's a thing that everybody seems to like to do. And I understand it. It is definitely fun. There needs to be some kind of governance, though, where we're not doing it right in everybody's face. And that's just generally with everything. That's your kids. That's your habit. That's your entertainment, whatever it is. Don't bother other people with it. Don't impose. And the fishing people are doing that in earnest here at the beach. And it's up and down. On my long fitness walks that I've taken, GP, spoiler alert for how much weight did Danny gain, I have seen lots and lots of the fishing people. There's more than there've ever been. I just don't quite get it.
So just for us, and I mean me and Darius and Ryan, as we're taking our notes for how much weight did Danny gain on vacation, how long are the fitness walks generally?
It's a great question. It's a fair one. So in addition to my biking every morning, I've biked every morning but one here down at the beach. I have I even give you more information than you asked for. I have closed my fitness on my Apple Watch, if you know, you know. Multiple times on this trip, which is a number of minutes given in exercise and a number of calories burned. I have my ring closed at 900 calories burned over the course of a day, something you do typically before breakfast. But for the rest of us peasants, it is a challenge. You got to really work at it. So fitness walks I've done, the most is a 3-mile round trip there on the beach. It's not as easy as walking on pavement, but I have done a few of those. Typically around 2 miles is what I have done.
It'll be filed away for when we play how much weight did Danny gain on vacation. Sounds like the number is going to be lower this time, which is very successful and good for you. Not as good for the brand or for the program, for our laughter and enjoyment. As far as the fishermen go, I agree with you completely on this subject. I need to confirm, though, that they weren't there first. Because if you're mad because they set up shop and then you go out and you're swimming and now the line is near you all of a sudden, I think it's their territory, to be completely honest with you. Mm-hmm. If they set up shop after you guys are in and out of the water and after you've already set up your tents and they're near what I'll call civilization, which is other beachgoers, mm-hmm. very problematic, annoying, I get that. But what my experience is, and I don't go to the beach every year, you know, I'm not a beach guy, as you know, but when I've been at the beach and I see these people and they have their buckets and their coolers and all that stuff, they are kind of way down the beach at their own little area where there's not people around them. Because they get out there first, generally, and they set up shop, and then we have to adjust accordingly. So who was there first?
Very fair, very fair. So there are two distinct groups here. Group number one is they're fishing people, but they're part of a larger group where they've got their canopy. They've got their Nesso. They've got their beach chairs. It's just part of it, and they set up, and they're there, and Godspeed. We'll go somewhere else. The second group are the obnoxious jackasses that just sort of go and just start fishing. And they come out before you, after you, while you're there, and they just kind of walk up and down the beach to find their little fishing spot, because their little fishing spot is what matters, and nobody's comfort or enjoyment is important to them at all. So the first group, to your point, not a problem at all. Totally get it. You got out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. You set up all your beach chairs and the like. Godspeed. Put that line in the water. I hope you catch nothing, but whatever. That's cool. Do what you do. The second group can just rot. They can kiss 100% of my butt. They stink, and I don't understand that group. That's the one. I mean, you know, we also have people in direct violation where they're bringing their dogs out there, and the dog's deucing, and they're burying it in the sand and stuff like that. But just again, it's obnoxious people that just do their thing, and it doesn't matter how it affects other people. It's my least favorite part of humanity these days.
Yeah, it's everywhere. I mean, you will see it all over the place. You're on a plane, and you know, families, just kids unattended to in the aisles, making noise mm-hmm. and crying, and shoes off
and stuff. Yeah.
Last flight I was on, where was I coming back from a few weeks ago?
All-Star Game, probably, right?
Oh, exactly. You're right. LA, yeah. All-Star Game.
And I know your travel schedule very well.
Yeah, there you go. And I was coming back from LA. That is a cross-country endeavor. And this kid was behind me with the dad. There were actually like three kids with a dad, and they were sobbing and crying for their mom. And I felt, for the first hour and a half or 2 hours of this trip, all I could think about was my empathy for this man. Because I was like, he's flying cross country with these kids. Oh my God. If I had to handle both of my kids on a flight, it would be terrible. And I would be so bad at it. And I would just hope that people around me took pity and empathy. And, you know, who knows what happened? But maybe they're flying and they got to meet up with the mom. And who? So I'm going through my mind of how terrible this experience is and how he's got to do this and he's got three kids and this guy's a saint. Only to find out, like 2 hours into the flight, the mom is literally across the aisle doing her work on her laptop with her headphones in. And, I mean, these kids are sobbing for their mom.
Yep.
Top of their lung, meltdown, screaming. And I am being as reasonable as I can, going, you know what? This guy's having the worst day of his life. He's in it. This is no affront to me. He is just trying to get through it, and I need to just be an adult. Only to find out the mom literally was just, like, tuning them out so that she could be on her laptop the entire time watching whatever the hell Game of Thrones episode or God knows what. Maybe she was working, I don't know. But eventually the one girl got into a fight with the other girl and put gum in her hair, and then the mom had to get the flight attendant to cut it out, and it was a whole thing. All on the plane while this mom was, and I wanted to say to the guy, just leave her. Just end the charade immediately. I don't know who this person is. I know nothing about her.
End this marriage.
Seriously, I know nothing about this woman. What she did today is divorceable. Yep. And on top of that, if she did this today, what she's capable of is unthinkable. You have to get out of this as soon as possible. Take your kids and go. Run. Run as far as you can. But yes, for her, it was just her flight. And yeah, we were there, but it's her flight, really. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying.
It's everywhere, man.
And again, I renew my call. The first airline that does this, they would be screamed at, GP. There'd be so many groups that would form to yell at them, that groups would come out of the woodwork. Groups would stop doing what they're doing now and focus on this. But I'm telling you, the first airline to offer child-free flights for a premium price. In other words, we'll pay a couple extra dollars. And if you're flying across country, it's worth it to me to pay that money. The first one that does it gets my business exclusively forever.
There's your double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Let's Beltway Blitz it next. The Commanders, the Nationals, and the National Football League all jammed into one segment. Plus, my interview with Chris Paul from after his preseason debut on the offensive line. And we're talking Sam Howell at quarterback at 425 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.